Hello, everyone, and welcome to the UA Tech Working Group meeting on Monday, the 31st of August, 2020. On the call now is Jim Delahant, Benjamin Akinoyo, Dennis Tan, Mark D. Mohammed Fadl, Sushanta, and Mohammed Al-Bashir. And I'll hand it over to you, Jim.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Jim Delahunt. It just occurs to me there's a couple of names I see on the call that are new to me. Would it be worthwhile to do a little bit of introduction? The people who are new to this group, I'd like to know more about you, and we could, those of us who have been on this group for a while, could introduce ourselves to the new people. Would that be a reasonable thing to take some time to do?
Sure.
Okay. In particular, the names that are new to me are Benjamin Akinmoyeje and Mohammed Fadul. I would suggest maybe we go through everybody apart from those two and briefly introduce ourselves. And then if you two are interested, Benjamin and Mohammed are comfortable with that, be willing to introduce yourselves. Would that be okay with you?
Hello, this is Mohammed Fadul.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want me to?
Then let me let me go through people to coordinate things. So I'll start with myself. My name is Jim Delahunt. I'm a software engineer in Canada, and I am a volunteer on this working group. I have a lot of experience with Unicode and internationalization. So I come at it from a technology point of view. Maybe Mohammed, you could go next. Mohammed Al-Bashir, sorry.
Thank you, Jim. My name is Mohammed Al-Bashir. You can call me Mo. UA program manager and based in the US. Thank you.
Sushanta?
Yeah, can you all hear me? This is Sushanta Sinha. I'm the UA ambassador from India. I've just been selected last month, couple of months back. I am with an IT industry and working with an IT software company for almost 20 years. I have a background of technology development in the back end as well as in the middle layer. And recently I was part of various aspect of internet stack and on UA in particular.
Thank you, Sushanta. Abdulmonem Galila?
Yes, this is Abdulmonem Galila, the manager of the IDN CCTLD of Egypt and Universal Acceptance Ambassador for the third year. My background is technical. Yeah, that's all for me.
Thank you very much. Dennis Tan?
Hello, everyone. This is Dennis Tan. I work for VeriSign, also vice chair of the UASG and the working lead for the measurement working group. My day job is policy implementation, and as I said, I support the UASG as a vice chair and leading the measurement effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Mark Datesgeld.
Hello, this is Mark Datesgeld. I come from Brazil. I have been a UA ambassador for quite a bit. I'm currently a GNSO counselor incoming starting from ICON 69. My background is in international relations and coding, and sometimes I do some work for this group as well. So I try to cover all my bases.
Thank you, Dennis. Benjamin Akinmoyeje, could you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Benjamin Akinmoyeje. I'm a master research student at Namibia University of Science and Technology. And I joined this group, I think sometimes in July 2019 in Marrakesh. My participation in IG is basically I'm the NCUC African rep. I'm kind of a half tech background, but I've been very busy with my thesis. So I've been coming on and off for the meetings. Most times I come in late. So I think now I'm free. So I'm hoping to get back actively in the working group. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Benjamin. And Mohammed Fadul, could you introduce yourself, please?
Hello, this is Mohammed Fadul from ISUC Sudan chapter. I'm a PhD student here in Malaysia, Malaysia University of Science and Technology. I'm interested in DNSSEC, IDN, and TLS, basically. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mohammed. I think I got everybody. Is there anybody who I did not ask to introduce themselves? I think we're good. Okay. So let me proceed to the topic of UASG-004 and normalization. And Mohammed al-Bashir, let's make sure I have the right topic. We have UASG-004 is essentially a list of URLs and email addresses that are useful for testing. That's how I think of it. And it is a printable document as a PDF file. And recently we added to it a text document which gives the email addresses and domain names from the PDF file as a plain text file so that they're easier to copy and paste and reuse, and you know exactly what character codes are supposed to be in them. And so they have a bunch of variations, and there's a new kind of variation of text, which has existed for a long time in the Unicode standard called normalization. But the UASG-004 document has not had any examples of normalization differences. So I think our purpose here is to talk about what does normalization mean in the context of internationalized domain names and email addresses, and how we would want to add normalization differences as examples in the UASG-004 document. Do I understand the topic correctly, Mo?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And yep. And to help you, by the way, I did paste on the screen now the list of the new TLDs we're going to register domain name for testing that will be part of the new USG004 document, but just for info, but not related directly related to the normalization. Thank you.
Right. Okay, so first question is to talk about what does normalization mean in the context of text strings. Could I see a show of hands for everybody who thinks they understand normalization very well and does not need a review? Could you, there's a Zoom way of putting a thumbs up if you think you understand it very well. There's anybody who does not need an introduction, put your thumb up, please. I am seeing an empty list. So I'm going to explain normalization a little bit. You can think of domain names and email addresses as a string of plain text. Just the character to spell out the domain name or to spell out the email address. And in the Unicode standard, there are some very simple ideas, but some complex versions of it. So for example, let's think about Western European languages like German or French that have Latin letters with accents on top. It turns out in the Unicode standard, if you think of E with an acute accent, sort of diagonal dash on top, there is a character for E and there is a character for acute accent as a separate mark that combines with the preceding character. But there's also a character for the combination of E plus acute accent. So if you want to spell a name, if you want to write in plain text a name that has E acute accent, you have a choice of two different ways to do this. So there's ambiguity there. Normalization talks about saying when there's ambiguity, you can normalization is the choice of one of those two representations where you have two different ways in Unicode to represent the same string, which everybody agrees has the same meaning, but you could use either one set of characters or another set of characters to represent the same thing. Normalization is the process of choosing consistently one or the other so that everybody understands which choice you prefer. So there is a normalization form, let's see if I can get this correct, C, which is composed, and in that case, you would always prefer the combination of E plus acute as a single character when writing out names. And then there's normalization form D, decomposed, which is you'd always prefer the character and then the separate combining accent. And so the process of applying one of these normalization forms to a string is you take a string and you look for any place where there's characters that have possible different representations. And according to the normalization form you're using, you either pick one or the other. You may change the characters used in the string in order to make them match the normalization form. So if I'm using normalization form for decomposition and I come across the character E plus acute as one, I would replace that by the E character and then the second combining acute accent character. Let me stop there and see if does anybody have any questions about what that means and any corrections for things that I got wrong. I will look for hands or speak up. Abdulmanem, I see you have an X. That may be just Zoom talking. Oh, I see. Okay. I'm not seeing any questions.
Yeah, it is clear, Jim.
Yeah, okay. I see the X meant no. Thank you. You're very good at Zoom, Abdulmanem. So where else does normalization come up? I wish I had a good list of examples, but I know in Vietnamese, for example, Vietnamese uses Latin script and it can have multiple accents on a single letter. And so there are more cases in Vietnamese where you either can have, say you have a letter with two accents on it, you could either have the combined letter plus accent character and then a second accent character, or you could have a letter and then two accent characters after it. So it's a choice of two characters for drawing that Vietnamese accented letter or three characters. I believe there's an example in Thai. I don't know how to describe it, but there's a case where you can have two accents on a letter and they prefer one or the other. And then there's another kind of normalization case which comes up in particularly in Arabic. The Unicode standard encodes, the Arabic is normally written as individual letters, and when you draw the letters on screen or on paper, you will pick different shapes of the letters depending on whether they come first in the word or in the middle of the word or at the end of the word. So Unicode has just one code point for the letter regardless of which shape you use to draw it, and then your font and the rendering, the font text rendering system will pick one of those three variations of the shape. But Unicode also has some Arabic rendering forms encoded in it for compatibility with preceding, can be coded with the presentation form, the variations of the shape of the character, and that was for compatibility with preceding encoding systems. And if when you're drawing text, you may, if you're importing text from another non-Unicode standard, you may end up using those Arabic presentation forms, but when you're making going to normalization, you would want to turn those back into the underlying Arabic letters. Somebody, probably Mo, has put up Unicode Technical Report 15, which talks about normalization. And there's a whole lot of detail there. And in particular, there's the figure one that you see on the screen gives you some idea. Thank you for doing this because this reminds me of a couple of other things. When you have multiple combining marks on a letter, there's also the question of the order. Which order do you put them in? And it's kind of arbitrary. They mean the same thing, but for normalization, you want to pick one. Hangul is for Korean writing, and Hangul is normally written as a number of letters combined into one square block, but you can write those as separate letters, which they call jamo, or you can write them as a combined block. And there's another thing in table one called singleton equivalence. There are some characters that look the same, but actually come from different purposes. So like there's the Greek letter omega, and there's an ohm sign for electrical engineering use. The ohm sign is taken from the Greek letter omega, but it has a different encoding, a different character code. So for normalization, you would want to have, you want to always map them to one or the other. There's a lot of depth into what consists of normalization, but the interesting thing for us here, I think, is you can have two different text strings, like two different domain names or two different email addresses that are represented by different sequences of Unicode character codes. And they are both valid ways to render, to store that string. But in using those as email addresses and as domain name, as URLs, software is expected to apply normalization. And so the proposition is that for UASG 004, we should have some domain names and email addresses which are use different options and would be combined to the same thing under normalization so that people can test their normalization. I will stop there and ask for any questions or see if there's any other comments people would like to make. I see Dennis's hand is up. Go ahead, Dennis.
Thank you, Jim. And thank you for that conclusion or, you know, questions that we were trying to answer. What I was waiting for, the question about what are we solving for. And I think, let me use my own words here, what I think we want to do with introducing normalization to UASG 004 is to incorporate some test cases to validate whether an application is processing the normalization of a string, or specifically the composition of the characters in the right way, which not necessarily has to do anything with universal acceptance, but rather is how the application process normalization. Is that correct statement?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
And regarding that, it is, you can imagine coming up with a bunch of different strings that test different kinds of normalization. I think we shouldn't have the goal of making a test document for normalization per se. I think the purpose would be to illustrate with internationalized domain names and email addresses, normalization becomes a consideration where it was not a consideration before in processing email addresses and domain names. So it's more a matter of saying, make sure your code calls the right subroutines to handle normalization. And we'll just give you a couple of cases that require that functionality so that you will notice if you are not doing normalization at all.
I
Go ahead, Dennis.
Sorry, Mo.
Oh, no worries.
Okay, thank you. So I think I tend to agree with you, Jim. Yes, I don't think we want to create a, like you said, a separate normalization test cases, because that will be humongous, right? We're talking about basically testing every single normalization case that there is in Unicode. And since we're talking about IDNs and the universe of letters that are subject to normalization, it's huge, right? And I don't think we want that. I like the approach where we make the tester or the developer aware of normalization and point a few examples such that they call the right libraries in order to do that. I would assume at this point, any application that does apply internationalization correctly would apply normalization just fine. But I think we erring in the side of caution that would be sensible and we can do that. But yeah, I would be cautious of adding test cases just to test normalization, because that's kind of a never ending list of characters that we would need to test for. So thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. And I would also add that it gets beyond our expertise. I know a little bit about Unicode and normalization, but as working group, we're not Unicode experts. Other people are Unicode experts. What we are is internationalized domain name experts. And so that's the place to stay. Are there any other comments or questions? Please put your hand up or please speak up in the...
Thank you, Jim. Sorry, again, I can't put my hand up on Zoom.
Go ahead, Mo.
But I'll completely support your suggestion and also the comment by Dennis. Yeah, I think we need to be cautious in terms of clearly specifying why we're testing normalization, and that could be a small subset or small examples that could be used just to test how softwares deal with normalization. I agree. I think that's the best approach. We're not going to add any value really by doing extensive normalization testing on let's say all of the test cases currently in the document. That is not practical. But I have another question that's basic. Why, I mean, is normalization linked to the end user's input devices? I mean, the inability, for example, to key in specific combinations or characters, and that's why users might need to do normalization or combine marks. So maybe if you talked about that a little bit, that will clarify it for, I mean, non-Unicode experts like me and others, I guess.
Okay. So let's think a little bit about the life of a character. When a user wants to type in, say, an email address, they will use some sort of input system, a keyboard, or sometimes they'll type keys on a keyboard and it goes to a little screen that's an input editor, and it gets looked up and changed, and then it gets put into the application, and then you have the character string in the application. And most keyboards can only type a certain set of characters for one writing system. They can't type every character in the world. So there's always some things that are harder to type. I use a Macintosh, and on the Macintosh, I can open up emoji and symbols window that shows me basically a whole list of characters, and I can double click on a particular emoji or double click on a particular special character, and that will insert it. Normalization does not have to do with input. Normalization is not a way to input characters that you can't get from your regular keyboard. That's a different problem. Normalization is about, you have a string of characters and it has things like combining accents, or as we see on the Zoom screen right now, a circled variant, a one inside a circle, which is treated as similar to a one, the digit one, or an I with a nine superscript, which is treated as similar to an I and then the nine number after it. If somehow you get those in to your text string, and you want to then use it as for looking up as a, some kind of name in a catalog, and email addresses are an example of this, and URLs are an example of this. Given that there's the variations all look the same to a user who is looking at the character string typed in into a text box, the user cannot see the differences from composed or decomposed accent sequences. So the purpose of normalization is to take those different character strings that they have different bytes in them, and turn them into something consistent so that when you look up the email address or you look up the URL, you always will get a match, regardless of differences in the way the original character string was spelled. And while we have the screen up right now, you're seeing a list on the screen right now of font variants and line breaking differences and circled variants and superscripts and subscripts and squared characters. All of those are a related part of normalization called canonicalization. And that's something I haven't talked about much. Unicode has a whole lot of characters which are combinations of other things, and they were brought in for compatibility with other encoding standards, but they're basically a second way to spell the same thing. In canonicalization, what they say is even if your input string had one of these weird things, Mo, could you scroll back up to the table we were seeing before? Okay, that's great, thank you. So where it says squared characters, what you see is a little square with four small characters all stuck together. That's Japanese. It turns out in Japanese, they'll sometimes write four characters in the space of one just because it's compact. And canonicalization says, okay, we know you've got this one small squared character. Change it to the four characters written separately before you do your lookup of your email address or your domain name, because we think it doesn't make sense to have that special squared character as part of the name lookup. So we're always going to flatten it out to the separate characters. And the superscripts and subscripts are the same thing. Instead of having a superscript character in a domain name, you always flatten it out to where it's a normal digit instead. So canonicalization is different than choosing between an accented or a non-accented character, but it's part of normalization. It's another aspect of normalization. Thank you for scrolling down, Mo. I want to introduce something in table one. Could you go back up a little bit, please, Mo? Okay, thank you. Where it says table one normalization forms, I want to introduce these names here. There's normalization form D and normalization form C and normalization form KD and normalization form KC. Those are the four possible normalization forms. You can take each of those as algorithms. They say take an input string and look for certain characters. And if you see these certain characters, replace them by the other characters. And the output of the string is a normalized form according to NFD or NFC or NFKD or NFKC. And the D refers to decomposition, which says wherever you have a choice between one character or two characters, that's a base character and a combining character, always switch to the two character form, decompose accents off of base characters and make them a separate combining character. And composition C means always take where you have the possibility of a single character that has both the base character and the accent, always combine them together. And then the K refers to, it's compatibility. Change from one form of characters to another for compatibility purposes, and then either do decomposition or composition. And they use the term K for compatibility, the letter K for compatibility, just so you wouldn't get confused with the C for composition. So the details are complicated and the details don't matter so much, but I just want to introduce those four names, normalization forms D and C and KD and KC. Those are the four normalization algorithms, and so those are the four things we should talk about. I see two questions in chat. Desalyn, welcome. We have jumped into you, as Mo says, we've jumped into talking about USG004 and normalization. We're right at the stage of explaining what normalization is. We haven't really gotten into USG004 yet. Mark, I see a question. Is this connected to case folding? No. Normalization as a formal term in Unicode does not include case folding. Case folding is a matter of saying there's characters we're going to treat as equivalent. But normalization does not include removing case differences. Normalization is about removing other kinds of differences. Okay. Are there other questions at the moment? So Mo and Desalyn is now here. Do you want to keep on going with this topic or do you want to switch directions?
It's Mo here. I think that, thank you very much, by the way, Jim. That's a very useful background. And we can use the remaining, time to continue discussing about what type of examples we wanted to add to the document, just to showcase normalization and how software is handling that. If you provide guidelines in terms of number of examples, maybe that will be useful. I think on the last call, we agreed that we're going to do this in a phased approach where we're going to add the new TLDs first to the document and add the normalization example based on the guideline from the working group. So it might be useful to continue. That will be
very good. Yeah. I'd be happy to keep the discussion going in that direction. While we're stopped, though, I see that Desalyn is here, and I see a new name, Joan Katambi, in the participants list. We did an introductions, and I know you haven't heard the introductions from everybody else, but Desalyn, could you give a brief introduction of who you are for the benefit of the new people in this call? And then I'd like to ask Joan to introduce yourself as well. Desalyn, would you mind?
Okay. Thank you, Jim. This is Desalyn. I'm Desalyn Nyihwala. I'm the co-chair, the vice chair of this working group. I think this small introduction.
Yes, thank you. Where are you from?
I live in Ethiopia, East Africa. I work for the Computer Science Department of Addis Ababa University as lecturer and independent researcher.
Thank you.
So, okay.
And Joan Katambi, if you don't mind, would you be willing to give a brief introduction of yourself?
Oh, yes. Good evening to you all. Joan Katambi is my name, and I work for the Uganda Institute of Information and Communications and Technology. It's an intergovernment organization under the Ministry of ICT and National Guidance in Uganda. And I'm a member of this working group, and I'm here to learn, hoping to be the ambassador for Uganda and the academia too. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joan. And we're glad to have you. This is three new names that are new to me in this today's call, and I'm very glad to see more people joining in the group. So we've got about 14 minutes left. Let's talk about the UASG004 document and how normalization relates to it. We have, Mo, would you mind putting up the new, or USG004 itself, if you can, or else the new additions that you had shown before?
Sure. The new additions are new TLDs, but I can show the document itself, so.
Yeah.
So others.
What I want to do is get people to see what's in the document and then think about, for the kinds of things we have in the document, how would normalization be a useful addition to them?
Jim, I have a question, or maybe a comment. I have somehow confusion about the normalization. Who does the normalization? It is the operating software or the programming language who did the normalization, and no choice for the client to choose which form of the normalized form should be used. And for case folding, I think it is not the choice of the operating system, it's the choice of the user itself. For example, here for the IDNC3D of Egypt, we make case folding. I mean, there are some letters that have competitor, maybe variances. We tell the system if someone registers this domain name and this domain name have one of these variances, make folding and make bundling for them, for this man, and give him the two domain names or maybe multiple domain names. Could you have a spot on this, please, especially for normalization?
Okay.
Thank you.
Normalization is normally specified as part of the requirements of software that's using an API. So if you are, think of a database, you are looking up a name in a database, the people running the database will say, in order to use our database correctly, we are storing all of the names in the database as normalization form C, NFC. And so in order to look up a string in our database, you should take the string that you are searching for and apply normalization form C and then do the lookup. Because if you do not apply the normalization, you may get a wrong answer. Like for example, you do not do the normalization, you look up a name and you see it's not in the database, but it turns out it was, it's just normalized different as normalization form C in the database, but you did not normalize your input string. And so you missed the match. And so that is how normalization would be applied. A piece of software would be expected to apply normalization before doing some sort of, before storing the name where other people would use it, or before looking up a name in a list of strings that were contributed by other people. One case where normalization happens, and this is getting onto Sushanta's question, is file systems. If I create a file and I type in the name of the file and I give it to the operating system to create the file and create the file name, the file system will apply a normalization to the name. And an interesting difference is that I believe Mac OS versions until recently have preferred normalization form D for decomposed, whereas Linux and Windows preferred normalization form C, composed. And I run a file server which gets files from Windows and from Mac, and the file server's got Linux, but the Mac, which is normalization form C, but Mac uses normalization form D. So the file name as stored on the server is different than the file name that my Mac sees because the normalization forms are different. And I'm seeing posted, Sushanta, did I answer your question? There's a couple of answers about normalization form C versus D in the chat. Dennis is pointing out that IADN is recommending normalization form C in RFC 5890. And Mo is pointing out that mailbox name should use normalization form C. And it's-
May I just add?
Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Is there a question or a comment?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I think I just, my question was that I had seen references of like IDNA that to use form C. Is it wise to check like the case you mentioned that it is normalized in one way in one OS, but the other way in in a different OS to test all these forms, or is there a standard that we should follow, or I mean, should I say the test case failed because it is not comparing in a particular form, or is there any standards or widely used form?
So let's talk about domain names and email addresses. Domain names require normalization form C. So here we have on the screen some example domain names. We can imagine adding a domain name which would be spelled differently with normalization form C or not normalized to C, and put both strings down. You have the string of domain name normalized to normalization form C, and then you can put a second string of non-normalized domain name that would have different characters in it. And any software looking up the domain name would be required to take their string that they think is a domain name and apply normalization form C before doing the lookup. So the domain name system should only store the normalization form C version of the name, and any software the specification should say names are stored as normalization form C, and any software doing a lookup of a domain name should apply normalization form C to the string before it does the lookup. One thing I should say about normalization algorithms is, they are idempotent. You can apply the same normalization operation multiple times to the same string, and you always end up with the same result. There's no harm in applying a normalization form multiple times. So if I'm writing a library for doing domain name lookup, I will probably take whatever string someone passes to my library and apply normalization form C to it before doing the lookup, because I don't want to have to worry about whether the person calling me did normalization. I will just do it myself. Does that answer your question, Sushanta?
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Yes, it is.
Okay. So I would suggest as the next step, thinking about USG 004, what would be good test cases to put into email addresses and domain names that would be useful for people to make sure they're doing normalization correctly? Does anybody have any suggestions for that? I just said one, so I'll say it again. We could put a domain name that is different between normalization form C and D, between composed and decomposed. And the obvious ones I can think of involve accented European Latin script letters like E acute. But we could come up with examples from Thai and Vietnamese as well. If we already have a name in our list that happens to involve normalization, involve those kind of composition, decomposition differences, great. But otherwise, it might be worth adding one just as an example of decomposition. Here we have a bunch of domain names. We can look to see if any of these involve accented letters or Thai.
Yeah. Jim, this is the proposed list of TLDs we're going to register domain name in for the new. So there's many variations. You can see different script like Greek, for example.
Mm-hmm.
If the idea to use the accent for maybe, or there is Armenian, there is and there's different, there's Thai as well, so.
Yeah. With Thai is one of the cases, one of the scripts where accents can be placed in different orders. Do we have any Vietnamese in this? Vietnamese would be another example. There are many scripts for which normalization does not provide much of a change. And so some of these scripts will be very interesting tests, but not for normalization. I do not see accented Latin in this list. And so that's not going to be our choice. Maybe we do not have any examples from this list of domain names that would be different under normalization. And so that might be worth adding one.
Yeah.
But the structure I would suggest is we have a domain name that is correct and normalized, and we say this is a normalized domain name under normalization form C, and then we have a second string which is intentionally not correctly normalized. It is unnormalized, or it follows normalization form D or something. And we put that right next to it and say this looks the same, but it's actually a different set of characters. And in the text file, you'll be able to see the actual characters and see that they are different. So I would suggest that as a structure for putting these examples in. And similarly with email names.
Just a comment to Jim.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, for the Arabic email address here, email test, the Arabic one here from Mauritania. When I tried before to deploy EI server, I restricted to use NFD form for the mailbox. As okay. The mail software the mail software tried to find the two forms of the email address that have special character here that need to be normalized as separate mailboxes. So I should make at this time two mailbox, one mailbox, and have two aliases with the two forms of the normalization. So at some times we are restricted to use NFD rather than NFC.
Interesting. Okay. Thank you for that. I would be interested to know which software requires NFD, because we might have an issue there of different preferences between NFC and NFD. Dennis has a question. Dennis is dropping off on the call. Thank you, Dennis, for being here. Dennis has a question. Wouldn't the application default to NFC? And the answer is we cannot assume that. Different applications will have different preferences, or they may not pay attention, or it may be just how the user types things in. So we should any software that's handling these names should expect it's going to get all kinds of different spellings. And if it needs to do if it expects normalization, it must apply the normalization itself. Question from Mo, or suggestion from Mo, show a normalized NFC domain and another domain with a different normalization. Yes, that is what I'm suggesting. We have a second string that is not normalized the way the correct one is, but if you do apply a normalization, you get to the correct string. And it's not going to show, these normalization differences are not going to be visible in the PDF document, because the whole point about normalization is the character string looks the same when it's rendered in print. It just is spelled with different character codes. We are at 1 minute past the hour. Mo, I think we probably should wrap up. Are there any last comments that someone would like to make before we break? Okay, I don't see any hands. So I think what we've got is we've gotten an understanding of normalization, and we've started the conversation about what examples to use, but we don't yet have concrete examples. So Abdulmanam, your example of a mailbox system that wants normalization form D is very interesting. Okay, anything else, Mo?
I don't know.
Thank you, Jean.
Thank you very much. That was very
useful. It was clear. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you all very much. I'm glad we had a good discussion.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.